Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, black women are underrepresented in elected office compared to the overall U.S. population. We'll talk to the leader of a group trying to change that. Now, Dane County Judge Josanne Reynolds ruled yesterday that the state must hold elections for two empty seats in the state legislature. Governor Walker had opted not to hold special elections to fill the seats of Republican lawmakers, former Senator Frank Lissay of DePere and former Representative Keith Ripp of Lodi. Both lawmakers left to work for Walker's administration. Originally, the governor argued that the elections would be too costly for taxpayers and said the newly elected lawmakers wouldn't be in office long enough anyway, given the elections coming up in November. But subsequent lawsuits contend that the lack of representation at the state capitol infringes on the rights of voters. And today, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald of Juneau said he wants a bill put in place to block these special elections. WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson joins us with the latest. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
Well, we just talked to you a little yesterday. There have been developments since then, starting with Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. What's he saying?
Well, he came out today and talked to reporters and said that we don't know exactly what he wants to do, but we know that he doesn't like this idea of potentially being forced to have special elections in the 42nd Assembly District and the 1st State Senate District in late May, early June, and then come back and hold elections for them again in November.
Let's give a listen to Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald.
What Republicans are doing is saying, listen, we need to take a look at what are the logistics now of the elections and how would they be carried out by the elections board, and does it make sense? And right now it doesn't make sense. I don't think a clerk would agree that this is going to make sense.
So what would have to happen now? The Senate is out of session, right? And the Assembly's in, as we talked about the other day, an extraordinary session. What would have to happen to pass a bill quickly to block these elections?
Well, as quickly as they could call that extraordinary session for the last stuff that they did, they could call another one, or the governor could call a special session, theoretically. You know, they can come back kind of whenever they want. Even if it's not in their regular calendar, they can always find the legislature a way to come back in some kind of a session to deal with a bill like this, if the votes are there.
Even if the votes were there, I mean, this is a judge saying this is a constitutional right to be represented. There could be a legal challenge to the legislature saying the legislature can't overrule a constitutional right if they can get judges to agree with that.
Yeah, it gets pretty thorny. It sounds like the first path that Fitzgerald would like to see is some kind of a court stay that blocks the judge's ruling. And, you know, but if that doesn't happen, then he's talking about looking to the legislature. So essentially he's saying that he would like to block this ruling the law requires these elections to be held. But if that law is not blocked, that is, if the court system says this judge made a good decision, then Fitzgerald is talking about changing the law to block these elections.
I want to give a listen to one of the plaintiffs in the case, Alvin Meyer, talking about the lawsuit over these special elections.
Is the view that the role of legislators so insignificant that we don't need one for a year? I just don't comprehend that, even what was the purpose here. Somebody quits, resigns, moves on. Why not fill their job? We're either saying that the role of a state senator is important or we're not.
And the judge seemed to agree with that argument.
Yeah, I mean, and Alvin Meyer was pretty happy with that ruling because without some kind of action from the court, the governor has said that he's not going to call special elections, and that would leave that first state Senate district where Alvin Meyer lives vacant for more than a year, and that hasn't happened in Wisconsin before. So the judge said basically that the laws regarding special elections are pretty clear, and that if it occurs before the second Tuesday in May in an election year, the governor shall call a special election. The governor is saying that because these vacancies happened in December of last year, he does not have to call a special election. But the judge said, well, if you follow that through to its kind of logical conclusion, she used the word absurd, because she's saying that you could have somebody leave the legislature in May, for example, and of this year. Or, you know, we could use the example of somebody could leave the legislature today and the governor would have to call a special election for that seat, but he would not have to have called one under his rationale for the ones from that last December.
And now some Republicans in the legislature are attacking the judge, saying that she had a liberal bias, Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, among them. Other people pointed out this is a Walker appointee, this judge. What's the personal back and forth over the judge here?
Yeah, she was appointed by Governor Scott Walker in 2014. So you have not, I mean, he hasn't really been interviewed on this to my knowledge, but you haven't heard the governor out there saying that she's an activist. You did hear Assembly Speaker Robin Voss call her an activist judge almost, you know, it was just moments after the ruling had been issued. And he said that he had not read the ruling yet. That's a pretty common claim from Wisconsin Republicans when laws have been blocked in Dane County Circuit Court. A lot of those have gone up to be upheld by conservatives in the state Supreme Court. In this instance, you did see the chief judge that governs the Dane County Circuit Court come out and tell Speaker Voss in a letter pretty firmly, you know, I don't respect the I don't care for the tone, and, you know, it disrespects an independent branch of government here.
Well, we're watching to see what lawmakers and the governor and the attorney general do next. Sean, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome.
That's Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Now, these kinds of lawsuits on special elections are few and far between. That means the state may be breaking some new legal ground here. Scott Gordon is an associate editor for WisContext. He's been writing extensively about the special elections process in the state. Scott, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Well, in my limited understanding of the legal system, Scott, I know judges, they want to look for precedent when they want to rule on a case. You looked at the precedent on lawsuits related to special elections. What's out there?
Really not a whole lot. You know, even if you look at the things that the plaintiffs in Wisconsin's special elections lawsuit have filed, you know, you don't really see a whole lot that relates directly to the special elections law in Wisconsin. And then, you know, in kind of federal jurisprudence, and I spent a bit of time, you know, bothering election law specialists and whatnot, and there isn't necessarily a whole lot there either. You know, of course, there's lots of cases and rulings out there that, you know, affirm things like one person, one vote, and you know, this kind of fundamental right to choose your representatives in government, but not a whole lot that digs in on some of the hairier questions that, you know, a really state-specific special elections dispute would raise.
And yeah, last when we talked to you, you mentioned that special elections, they're not rare. They happen, you know, fairly often. Special election lawsuits, not so much.
Right. And I mean, they do happen at state levels. And, you know, there have been a fair number of lawsuits where you know, Republican voters and activists have sued Democratic governors, including in New York State. And it's kind of funny, if you look back at some of those debates, they're like this little, almost this complete reversal of what we have now, where people on the Republican side are making a lot of the same points that Democrats in Wisconsin are making right now.
And Democrats making the opposite point. So as judges look at this, as people have been arguing it in this particular case, are they just what, arguing by analogy to other voting rights?
Well, not really. I think the really central dispute in this case is about the reading of state law, you know, and there's some other arguments beside that. But, you know, essentially what the judge in the Dane County judge in this case has said is that, look, the law plainly says this, and that's what the plaintiffs are arguing. You know, the Walker's argument is to kind of try and split hairs and say, because of the timing that these seats became vacant, that he has an out to not call special elections. But that, you know, clearly isn't convincing the judge, and, you know, it's clearly it's kind of tough to parse when you look at just the plain language of the statute.
Now, when you looked at those cases in New York, did judges ultimately say, yeah, you got to have a special election?
They did. And, you know, in some cases, they ended up being able to have it at the sort of delayed date that they wanted to, you know, contiguous with the November regularly scheduled election, the way that Walker wants to do here. And there's always that issue of you're trying to get the government to do something in a really short window of time that just by nature is likely to run out unless you can get things really fast-tracked and get the judge to see it your way.
And you looked to see if the U.S. Supreme Court had given any guidance on special election lawsuits. What did you find out there?
Not a whole lot. Again, you know, it's a weird combination of state and federal law, and especially when you're at the state legislative level, you know, state laws vary a lot more and get a lot more specific. You know, when it's a congressional election, there's a bit more of a, you know, federal standard to kind of be applied. But, you know, there's always going to be kind of this hairy mixture of federal and state specific things at work.
So when it comes to the internal workings of state law, SCOTUS don't care for the most part?
Well, I don't know about that. It's more just that, you know, I couldn't find, and you know, unless I've overlooked something, or the you know, elections law folks that I talked with are overlooking something, I really couldn't find something where the Supreme Court kind of weighed in on something that's really directly applicable here. And you know, there's nothing the plaintiff's lawyers are citing that really is either from that level.
And did you write that there's also something going on in Michigan that's in the same ballpark?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. There's a state legislative seat and a congressional seat, John Conyers' former seat, that the governor there, Rick Snyder, not unlike Walker here, kind of wants to wait until the November election to fill, which will, you know, lead to relatively long vacancies.
So after this case is resolved, however it's resolved, we'll have at least a little bit of precedent for the next time, if there is a next time.
Right. The next time it happens in Wisconsin, at least, and just as other states' cases aren't much help to us here, it might not be that much help here to people in other states.
Scott, thanks a lot for putting this in context for us.
Thank you, Rob.
Scott Gordon is an associate editor for WisContext. You could read more about the legal precedents in Wisconsin special elections, or lack of same, at wisContext.org.